Last time we began discussing some situations of segregation whereby even though in general we don't assume like the Aruch, in general we assume that all things equal, of segregation de lo nichale is not mutter in and of itself, but there are other factors whereby we might be lenient for segregation de lo nichale. So we discussed segregation de lo nichale and the Rabban on the position of Tosos on Daf Kuf Gimel and Shabbos, indicating that even if we argue on the Aruch in general, if it's a segregation de lo nichale and a derabbanan, we would be mako. And we discussed the Shmir Shabbos in his Mavo as a back and forth as to the extent to which this is correct lemaisa, and the fact that Rabbi Willig suggested there may be a difference between where the derabbanan is a malacha derabbanan as opposed to where the malacha is an ofen derabbanan. If it's a malacha that's ikara min haTorah, it's a deraisa malacha with the derabbanan ofen of Kalar Chayad, that may be the different consideration then if it's a full-fledged Derabbanan. Rav Avadia assumes Chelek Hei Arachayim Simen Kav Zayin, Chelek Hei Arachayim Simen Kav Zayin, that he tries to demonstrate that the overwhelming consensus is that if Sekreshe Delo Nichele is Mutarana Derabbanan, period. You can take a look at his analysis of the Rishonim in that tshuva. The Orach HaShabbos assumes that a single derabbanan you should be machmiran, even if it's tlo nichale, as opposed to a trade derabbanan, which we discussed, that if it's a trade derabbanan, then bahar vacha, we are mako, that we rely on a secretion tlo nichale as being mutter if it's trade derabbanan, a double derabbanan. Okay, so that segues into the question of Safik Segreshe and the famous comment of the Taz in Simin Shin Tezayin in the context of the Malacha of Tzad. The Torah there in Simin Shin Tezayin quotes from the Sefer HaTruma that we saw the first half of this Malacha last time in Shulchan Aruch. He quotes from the Sefer HaTruma that if you have a box that has flies, you know there are flies in the box. So you're not allowed to close the box with the flies. You have to leave it open a little bit to allow the flies to exit. And that's analogous to the case that we saw in the end of Beis Lamed Vav of the Kaveris that has Dvorim, where there's a concern of the Tzeda, if you're going to trap the bees in the beehive and not allow any window for escape, that would be a problem of Tzad. That's what the Torah quotes of the Sefer Truma. And then the Torah quotes that he doesn't think you have to be so concerned about the Sefer HaTruma, since even if you were to open the box, all the flies would immediately run away. So that's not really considered tzad, even if they're temporarily trapped in the box. So what the machlokas is has to do with tzad, which is not really our focus right now. But the Beis Yosef writes that he, again, the Beis Yosef, the Torah says he doesn't think you have to be medakdek for the Sefer Trumas Chumrah in the case of the flies in the box. The Beis Yosef writes, even though it's Svara, that may be true, but Lamaisa, it's hard to be makel against the Sefer Truma. But in practice, the Beis Yosef does not quote this din of the Sefer Truma in Shulchan Aruch, although the Ramah does. That's the Ramah in Shin Tezayin Se'if Gimel. The Ramah writes, Shinta Zion Sifkim, we'll take a look if you have it. Lachain, Yesh Lihizahir Shalaliskor Teva Katana, Olistom Kalim Shizvuvim Baba Shabbos, David Psikresha Shiasudu Shabbos. You have to be careful not to close a small box that has flies because that's a Psikresha that you're going to trap the flies. Pala Truma. Vyesh Makilim, Bimachim Shim Yifta Hakli, let me Sham Yiv. V'yesh makilim b'makam sh'im yiftach ha'kli litla misham yivarchu, and that's the Torah, that if they're going to run away immediately, the Torah thinks that's not considered to be tzad. Okay, so to this, there's a fairly lengthy taz here in Sifkatan Gimel. And the Taz addresses in explaining the Torah a situation where we don't know if there are flies in the box. So I'm just jumping into the middle of the Taz to read the lines that are Nogea L'Nyaneinu, what our interest is. It's about two-thirds of the way through the Taz, probably all are different paginations. He writes, Alakusha Shnia Shalatur near the Hachi Kamer. The ode, Afiluim Tomar Dibivadai Havab Sigresha V'Asr. Even if you'll acknowledge that in a situation where, if you know for sure there are flies, that's going to be a prohibitive Sigresha. Mikamakom, the Safek im Yesham Zvuvim Yesh Lahatir. But if we're not sure if there are flies, or maybe not be, that should be mutter. Desham aim psikresha, kiza have a suffix psikresha. So we don't know for sure. That's a suffix psikresha. If there are flies, then they're definitely going to be trapped. Because you will definitely violate sad if there are flies. We don't know if there are flies. Babar dava shalom bimiskavein umutter. So the fact that it's a suffix psikresha makes it into a dava shena miskavein. In general, a psikresha means that even though something is a darvish emiskavim, but I know for sure the result's going to happen, that's going to result in a malacha, that's a psikresha, which is aser. But if it's a suffix psikresha, then it reverts back to a darvish emiskavim. Kmo bekaveres, hechad alavik psikresha, kagon chiesh nekav katan, kmo shekasavnu leel. So just like in the kaveres case, if there's a small hole that allows the beast to escape, that's not a psikresha. Sachanami, aim sikreshe, bevadai, ki efshosh ein shan zvuvim. And that would refer to a standard davar she'eno niskafi. And then the Taz writes in Sifkatan Dalid. So in Sifkatan Gimel, he says this across the board. Sounds like even if we're talking about a daraisa, a suffix sikreshe should be mutter. And then in Sifkatan Dalid, he says, "Kain ra'i lifsog befrat b'midi derabbanon b'min she'eno nitzod d'min haTorah ein chay b'klal rak mishum zera derabbanon mishum nino nitzod." That sounds like, in principle, the Taz thinks that the notion of suffix sikreshah can be relevant even by derisas. In practice, he says, you should definitely be comfortable, even if you're not going to acknowledge this cool when it comes to the Raisas, but you should definitely accept it when it comes to the Rabbanans. And here we're talking about a Rabbanan of Sa'ad anyway. A fly is Ein Mimino Nisa. It is not something that's typically trapped or hunted. And therefore, we're talking about no more than a Malacha de Rabbanan anyway. So a Suffix, a Gresha, but Malacha de Rabbanan, the Taz says, should be Mutter. So that's what the post can talk about, a Suffix, a Gresha, Lisha Avar. That what the Taz is talking about, a Suffix, a Gresha, Lisha Avar. What does that mean, Lisha Avar? So as the Shvisas HaShabbos formulates it, Shvisas HaShabbos, we've referenced before, has a hakdama of Klali Melecha Shabbos. So in Ozayin, in the Shvisas HaShabbos, he formulates the Safek as a Safek B'mitzias HaNifal. As a Safek as to whether the object which is on the receiving end of the Melecha is there or not. Because are there flies? If there are flies, so then the Melecha will have resulted. If there are no flies, no malacha would have resulted. So that's what the post can talk about, a suffix sikreshe lisha avar, meaning the facts are already established, we just don't know what they are. Because either there are flies or they're not flies, that's a question of mitzias. So the reality is already there, that's what we mean lisha avar. The suffix sikreshe lisha avar, suffix the mitzias hanifal, we don't know whether the action that's on the receiving, or the reality, the mitzias that's on the receiving end of the malacha, does that exist or not? That's a suffix sikreshe l'shavar, as opposed to a suffix sikreshe l'haba, would mean the classic case of gorer adam kisei mita v'safsal u'bevashaleis kavin l'asasaris. If you're dragging a piece of heavy furniture outside, you may or may not make a hole. So if you know for sure you're going to make a hole, that's choresh, that's malacha, that's also because of sikreshe. If you don't know if you're going to make a hole, that's mutter, because that's a darvish enim eskavin. It's not a psikresha. So there, the suffix is what's going to be. Because you haven't done anything yet, and there's no way of knowing, based on current reality, what's going to happen. That's either a suffix psikresha lahaba, or that's what this Shvisas HaShabbos terms a suffix be'echus ha'pula, suffix about the quality of the action that you're doing. Is the action that you're doing going to result in a charis or not? And that's something that's e'afshar levarer ahead of time. Okay. So that's what the Taz is mechadesh, that a suffix segresha or a suffix segresha l'sha'avar is mutter. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes this in Sifkat and Tesayin that you can be makel on a suffix segresha when it comes to a malacha derabbanan. Mishnah Berurah simin shin Tesayin, Sifkat and Tesayin. Take a look at the their halacha there, Dibra Maskel v'lachain. See, where's my Mishnah Berurah? Here we go. Shin Tezayin, Sifkat and Gimel, Dibra Maskel v'lachain. So Mishnah Berurah quotes the Taz. He says, "L'chora yesh lahavi raya lahataz." Mitosis ksubas dafav. The viu mitchila raya l'shita sa'arich. The segregation de l'nichle mutter. They had the sukkalam gimel. The mematin in behadas beyonta. That's what we just discussed. That you're allowed to cut off some of the berries of a hadas on yontiv. The Gemara asks, "I isn't that mesakin mana?" The Gemara says, "Kigon shelikton lachila." It's Darvashayna Miskavin, that no, your interest in doing it is for eating the berries, not for bimisakein the hadas. Nothing where it says, I, Psikreshahu. Where it says, the Isle Yoshana Chrisa, we're talking about where you have another hadas, so you don't need this for the purpose of the mitzvah. Okay. So says the Mishnah Berurah, the Tosfos comments, Ho, the Isle Yoshana Chrisa Shari Lib Shimon. The Shema la'olam lo yehet sarach l'shnia. Maybe you'll never need the second hadas. The shtakach de lo tikkun kli. So it'll turn out that there's never a tikkun mana in the first place. Tikkun mana is only relevant in the context of the mitzvah. If there's no mitzvah to perform, if you don't need it for the mitzvah, there's no tikkun mana involved if you take a hadas on a random day in Marcheshvan. There's no tikkun mana to speak of. It's only relevant in the context of the mitzvah. So it'll turn out that there's no tikkun kli v'lav segreishahu. Aval the Rebbe Yehuda that Darvash Eidem Iskavin is aser. Shema yisarech lo v'eglai milsa the kli avat akan l'shona. According to Rebbe Yehuda, maybe you will need it, and then it'll turn out that it was a kli. It'll be aser. Hare mucha, says the Mishnah Berurah, the gam besafik im yesh ala pu'ula hazu gufa iser, gam kinu b'chlal darvashen miskavein, the mutter l'rib shimon. So this, he says, also sounds like a case of a safik segresha lisha avar. A case of safik segresha. And he says, no, that's the difference between lisha avar and l'haba. V'yesh l'dchos, the sham I'll call panim talia davar beinyan lahaba. Shami yistarech lavi yatikal mafrei ayidei amirazeh. Olo yistarech lo yatikal. V'dam iksas lahay degreves kisei safsal. Desavikum yasacharis ayidei gerasar lo. No. So that case is more analogous to the psikresha, savik psikresha lahaba. Your gorek, he says, mitav safsal. We don't know if it's going to make a hole or not. That's a classic, either davashedim eskavein or psikresha, depending on the realities of the case. So there, that's a suffix segresha lahaba. Aval binyanenu anudan and alapula shosa achshav adaratali besafik lisha avar. Here in the flies, the question is, what are the facts already b'metzias? They're already there. And most of us am I sir? Dainam yesham davar nitzot alo bavale kishar sveka. Fine. But so that's a distinction between lahaba lisha avar. Bottom line. Mishnah Berurah says we accept the Taz when it comes to a malacha derabbanan. Earlier in the Be'er Halacha, he's mitzayin a comment of Rabbi Akiva Eger in the beginning of Hilchos Basar V'Chalav. The din the Rama has in Simon Pei Zayin in Yoredeya Sivav, Rama writes, V'yesh Omrim, the aser lachtos ha'esh tachas kedera shel akim. You're not allowed to stoke the flame under a pot of an achri. Lefi shehei mevashlem behem pa'amim chalav, pa'amim basar. Because sometimes it may be cooking challah, sometimes it may be cooking basar. And if you're going to light the flame, then you may violate the iser of bishul basar challah, because you don't know what's in the pot. There may be basar challah there. It says Rabbi Kiveger in his Hagos there to the Rama in Simen Pesai in Sifav Yeredeya, that according to the Taz of Safek Sekresha, shouldn't it be Heter Gamor? Because your Kavana isn't even Bevashel on behalf of the Nachri. Your Kavana isn't even Bevashel Bas Bechalov. So you don't know what's there. So shouldn't it be of Sekresha? So Rabbi Kiveger assumes that this klal of the Taz is relevant not only in Hilchos Shabbos, but in Kol HaTorah Kula. It's relevant to other applications of Sekresha as well, that of Sekresha L'Sha'avar would be mutter. And that's opposed to the Shvisas HaShabbos. Shvisas HaShabbos in his Hakdama of Klali Melech HaShabbos Os Ches assumes that no, this is only relevant in the context of Hilchos Shabbos, because by Hilchos Shabbos, the governing question is one of Melechas Machshavas. So even if it turns out, the Safek Sekresha L'Shavar, you don't know if there are flies in the box. So even if it turns out that there are flies in the box, but since you didn't know at the time, then it turns out you, Befoel, didn't do an Isser, because that's not considered Melechas Machshavas. If it wasn't inevitable that you would do the Melacha, and there's enough of a Safek to knock it down to a Davar She'eino Miskaven, then it doesn't make a difference what the reality is. That's the davar she'eino miskaven, because melachas machshavas aser Torah. But b'chol Torah kula, we operate with different standards. So there, sekresha is not simply a function of a lack or a presence of melachas machshavas. So what's true for Shabbos, Shabbos, Shabbos things would not be true for chol Torah kula, and suffix sekresha would only be relevant for Shabbos and not for chol Torah kula. Okay. The next detail in Sekresha, the application, is the permissibility of having a Nachri perform a Malacha Ayyadei of Sekresha. If you take a look at Simon Reish Ayin Zayin Se'if Gimel, Reish Ayin Zayin Se'if Gimel, Mechaber writes, Shachach Ner Ala Tavla. So Shabbos began, and you forgot that there's a candle on a tray, and you need the tray. So it's a bus, it's a davar aser, it's aser betiltel. Menar es a tavla v'unofel. You're allowed to shake off the tray, and the lamp is going to fall off. Afilu im hudolik, because that is tiltal in a kilachar yad fashion. Rash leichayim l'chabos, as long as you don't have kavana to extinguish the ner. Says the Rama, v'tov l'asos, so ayde eino yehudi, v'malkam she'eino sarah kolkach. All things being equal, it's better to have this nior shaking off the table, the tray, done by an achri, if you can wait to find an achri to do it. Why? Says the Magen Avraham, Sivkat and Zayin, because that's Apsikresha Ayidei Nachri. Apsikresha Ayidei Nachri is mutter even lechachila. So you're allowed to perform a melacha Ayidei Nachri b'psikresha. So that's where the preference is, to have a Nachri here as opposed to doing it yourself. Meaning to say that the Mechaber says, as long as you're not Mechaven L'chaboso, he seems to be assuming that it's, as the Mishnah Berurah explains in Sifkat and Yudalid, that it's a davar she'eino miskaven, but it's an absecration, because if you do it in a gentle way, it's not inevitable that the candle's going to go out. And the Ramah's recommending that, yeah, but still better to do it even if it would go out, because there is a possibility that you may not be careful and you might end up doing it in a way that's absecration. So better to get a nachri do it, because even if it ends up being done in absecration fashion, Sikresha Ayde Nachri is mut. And the Ramah says something similar in the end of Simen Reish Nun Gimel. That's the Simen of Hachzara. So the Ramah writes, "L'chei noagim she'enam Yehudim motzin akaderas mina tanurim shemamina behen u'mashiv nasan eitzal tanur beisachor folav." So the practice was that you would have a nachri place a pot proximate to the heater, to the furnace, u'mav eres hashivcha acher kacha tanur hu. And then the shivcha would light the furnace, because you're allowed to light the furnace to makom tzina, akol chol and eitzal ha'tzina, and therefore mila nachri is mutter. If you're freezing cold and the furnace went out, you don't have any heat, you can have a nachri heat up the room. And then you're going to end up heating up the pots, memela. So you have something, you want to heat it up, you have the heter to have the nachri turn on the heat because the room is freezing. So you can have a nachri, put a pot near where the furnace is, and then turn on the furnace to heat the room, and then the pot's going to get heated up. So the details of that we'll worry about when we get to Bishul. But the Magen Avraham comments there in Sivkata Mem Aleph. The Ramah says that's only mutra de nachri, not of the Israel. If you have two Yisraelim, one of them puts down a pot on the flame, and then the other one turns the flame on. The one who put down the pot hasn't done a melacha deraisa, but he has done a melacha derabanan. Masha'enkin amir lenachri the shari, the ikar kavanasam lechamim abayis. The avagav the stikreisha legavi atavshil. So here is formulation a little bit different. We're not as bothered by Amir Lenachri Ayidei Psikresha. In the Lashon of the Ramah in Reish Tayin Zayin, Reish Tayin Zayin of Kadam Zayin, was Psikresha Shari Ayidei Akum. And here is Lashon is Lo Kapdinan Kulei Hai. It sounds like you shouldn't go around asking Nachrim as a matter of course to do malachas like Dibsekresha, but if there's a need, then you could be makel to allow Nachri to do it. Ayudei Sekresha. Okay, why is that? So the Alter Rebbe writes, in Simon Reish Nun Gimel Sifav, Reish Nun Gimel Sifav, that even though in general the klal is absent certain, barring certain exceptions, that any malacha that's asur for Yisrael to do, you're not allowed to tell an achri to do. Mikol makom, kansha iser nasa me'elav, below miskaven. So here the bishul is happening on its own. By Yisrael, eino omer lo klal la'asosa. The Yisrael is not telling him to cook anything. Ela sholcho la'asos davar mutter. The Yisrael is telling him to do something that's fully mutter. Im kain, avshem e'elav nasa iser, even though there's an iser that happens memela, harei lo nasa b'shlichus ha'Yisrael. But the iser is not being done because Yisrael told him to. She Yisrael etziva wal kacha. V'nachri eino muzer klal la'ashabiz, ela sh'asur lanu l'sholcho la'asos iser. The whole problem of Emil and Achri is shlichus. Here there's no shlichus. You tell him to do a davar heter. Neila, there's going to be an issa that happens the Ofim Segresha, but you didn't tell him to do that. So that's not of concern to us. As long as you don't tell him to do a malacha straight off, he does something that's totally mutter, and there's a byproduct of that, the malacha's done, that is heter gomer. That's where Moshe writes in Chelik Beis or Chaim Simen Samaches, Chelik Beis Simen Samaches, that what happens if you forget to turn the light off in your refrigerator on before Shabbos? So Eitz Tova Kamal Shmolan is not a good idea to ever have a light in the refrigerator, because if you have lights in refrigerators, then it's likely at some point you'll forget to turn it off before Shabbos. So the first thing, I think the first Shabbos we were married, or first Shabbos we were home, we were married, we took off the took out the bulb in the refrigerator, and we've been through a number of refrigerators since, but there's never been a bulb in the refrigerator. So that's if I just curious, is that common practice, or do most people have? I see heads shaking in different directions.
Yeah, we took out the bulb in my house.
Okay.
Like the Shabbos modes.
I'm sorry?
You like where it has like the button that you press to make it into Shabbos mode.
I see you have a fancy new refrigerator. Yeah, we have the old fashioned kind.
On mine, we have to set like the number of hours that it's going to be off for.
Oh, really?
We had some confusion in the cycle of Yom Tovim recently, what day was Shabbos and Yom Tov. So we set it for too few hours for a 2-day Yom Tov.
Oh, wow.
And then it came on for the second night. So that was bad. Not recommended.
There you go. So the easiest solution, it could be in some of the modern refrigerators, you can't do it. But if you disable the light bulb and take it out, that's the easiest solution. So if I ever go somewhere and see a light in a refrigerator, I'm kind of taken aback because I'm not used to seeing any light in a refrigerator. But be that as it may, Rav Moshe writes in this tshuva, Chelik Beis Simen Samaches, 1962. So they already had lights in refrigerators in 1962. That if the light was left on Shabbos, either left on Shabbos and you opened it up and now you want to know if you can close it, or it's closed and you need something in it, so that's a psikresha denichale. Why is it denichale? Say right. Let's put it on the screen. Vadei asu liftoach, you're not allowed to open the door. Shrei psik reishe hu shevadei diklak, hu gam nichalei. Nichalei because in general the light is helpful. Im lo yadu sheyesh sham or, let's say you don't realize the light's on. Hu paschu hu asu liskor, then you can't close it. Shrei vadei nichpa and a vaitim psik reishe hu. Even if you'll tell me it's lo nichale, that doesn't help. So maybe it's nichale. Why is it nichale? Because electricity in the 1960s cost money. And if you're going to keep the light on the whole time, then the electric bills are going to go up. There are a number of tshuvas of Rav Moshe that reflect that reality of the expensive electricity, the timer tshuva. So that reality doesn't really exist anymore. But okay, even if it's a segregation, it's still usher. The im ikra machalim sheichinu l'shabbos nim sasham, but all your Shabbos food is there. You can allow an Ochri to open it up. An Ochri Yisal Gamas Or Misham. And you can tell him to take out the light bulb. Shigam Zawit Sora Kadesha Yuchlu Likha Suda Shnea. Kadesha Barama. Now we're making a Sora Gaza Bamulan Ochri, even Mamlacha Daraisa. That's a tzarek gadol to be able to open the fridge again later. To open it, afkish ein tzarek kol kach, mishum dekeim de'enim eskavim lahalika or, ashub sikresha, mutar lomel lenachri, the isam magen avram eishayim zayin, of a lomel oishi, salakas or, ashub miskavim lachabos, who rakish ein tzarek gadol. So to have him open it up, open that sikresha, so that even if there's a minimal tzarek, it's mutar, because the mil lenachri of sikresha is mutar. To tell him to take out the light bulb, that's only if it's a tzarek gadol, if you're going to need the food for, you need to access the fridge again later. So then you could tell him to remove it, even if it's a melacha d'oraisa, because that's a tzarek gadol, where, and Sudas Shabbos is considered a tzarek gadol. Amir l'nachri is not really in our curriculum for this year, it's still in the fourth year curriculum, but that would be mutter where there's a tzarek gadol. Now, if the light is a LED light, according to most poskim, or a kind of light bulb that is possibly derabanan, as people don't make incandescent light bulbs anymore, so then things might be even easier if we're only talking about a malacha derabanan. Okay. And the final application of psikresha is psikresha ayde grama. So that's there's a Rashi in Erevin Peichesim and Aleph. Mishnah there discusses a water runoff where you have a pipe system that's going to the water is going to flow out on Shabbos into Rishis Rabim. So Rashi there writes, Yibra Maskel Shofchin Lesocho. That in a situation where your kavana is not to move the water into Rishis Rabim, but that happens as a byproduct of the water being released. So afil miskavein lavi sura deraisi kahacha. The halav is harabim zark lahu iagufa. You didn't throw the water directly to shes harabim. It runs into shes harabim. Elanele and yotzin. Hilka kilo mechavin shari lechachila. Since it goes out on its own, and that wasn't your kavana, that would be mutar lechachila. Sounds like even if it's definitely going to go out into shes harabim, but there's a gap between your action and its entry to the Shes HaRabim. So that may be a case of a psikresha al yedei grama. So that's some of the discussion that Rav Shlomo Zalman has in his tshuva about refrigerators, chelek aleph, simin yud, mincha shlomo, chelek aleph, simin yud. In the tshuva that we just read from Ramosha has a throwaway line at the end. And if you want to know about opening refrigerators in general on Shabbos, are we concerned that you're going to speed up the running of the motor by allowing warmer air to come in, and then the thermostat is going to cause the motor to run earlier than it would have otherwise? So Moshe writes, there's a lot to talk about. He says, better to open it up when the motor is already running. Ramosha didn't really write much about it in print in the tshuva. So Shlomo Zalman has a lengthy tshuva. Mincha Shlomo Chelek Aleph Simin Yud. Again, all the details are not so much our concern at the moment. Just trying to present a psikresha overview. But Shlomo Zalman assumes that if you're opening a refrigerator when the motor is running, so then there's definitely nothing to be concerned about, even if you're going to cause the motor to run longer, because that's analogous to closing a window to prevent a candle from being blown out. Meaning you have a candle burning on Shabbos. You close a window, and if the window were to stay open, it could blow out in 5 minutes. If you close the window, then the candle is going to last for another hour. So why isn't that called Gram Havara? Because I'm closing the window, the candle's going to burn longer. If I leave the window open, it's going to blow out. If I close it, it's going to burn longer. But no one says that you can't close the window because you're causing it to burn longer. Say things that's analogous to our case. If the motor is running and you're opening the fridge, even though by opening the fridge, more warm air is going to come in and the motor is going to continue to cycle longer, that's analogous to closing a window where there's a burning candle, and no one would say that that's a form of Gram Havara. But what about if the motor is off? What's a concern? That the motor's off, you open the door, and that's going to cause the motor to go on again faster. So you have the back and forth. Is that considered to be nichale? Is that lo nichale? On the one hand, all things being equal, you'd rather the hot air not come in, and you'd rather that the refrigerator continue to operate the way it normally operates, and not have to cause the motor to go on faster. But once there is hot air, so it is nichale that the motor should go on in order for the refrigerator to function properly. Is that nichale? Is that lo nichale? But then Rav Moshe, Rav Shlomo discusses, that was Os Dalid. Then Os Vav, he discusses that even if you'll consider this to be a psik resha denichale, and even if we'll assume that the operation of the refrigerator is melacha d'oraisa, which he thinks is not the case, but even if you assume, like the Chazon Ish, that there's bona, that there's anytime you have a electric circuit that's being connected, you have a melacha d'oraisa, which hopefully we'll talk about in due time. He says, even according to the Chazon Ish, he thinks that the Chazon Ish only meant that there's a melacha d'oraisa using electricity where the circuit is being connected for the first time, where the appliance is turning on. But if it's cycling, he thinks even the Chazon Ish would agree there's no new melacha d'oraisa every time that it cycles again. But be that as it may, he says, even if you assume that we're talking about a melacha d'oraisa, and even if you assume there's a melacha d'oraisa involved by the motor cycling when you open the fridge, he says, that's still ayde grama. That's indirect. So even if you assume that a psik resha bidrabanan is going to be usher, which was the discussion we had last time, even if you assume like the Magen Avraham that does usher psik resha bidrabanan, maybe machlokas mechaber ama, but here, so even if you assume a psik resha denichale, and even if you assume like the Magen Avraham, like we assume at least Ashkenazim lahalacha that a psik resha denichale on a drabanan is usher. But here, it's only ayde grama. Your kavana is to open the door. There's going to be an indirect result of you're opening the door or the motor cycling on. He thinks that's psik resha ayde grama, which would be mutter. Okay. So now, any questions up to here?
Yeah. Two questions. One of them might be out of scope. Is both of them might be honestly. I heard in like contemporary halacha they were saying how Rav Shlomo Zalman was like don in whether it's really a psik resha to the fridge light because lemaisa it's so direct to your action that it's not even a psik resha. They quote that in contemporary halacha. Is that? It's not from this tshuva by the
base ranking. It's not in this tshuva. This tshuva just talks about refrigerators. Just talks about opening a refrigerator. There is a lengthy footnote in Shmir Shabbos Lachasa, the last footnote in Perek Yud, where he talks about the light in the refrigerator. If you want to take a look, Perek Yud. In the new edition, footnote Mem Ches. So I'd only quoted the Ramosha for the Psikresh Ali De Nachri element, but since Kevin to us is the other name of a mils, I guess.
Yeah.
Shabbos writes that if you open a refrigerator on Shabbos and you see that the light is on, Yishal Shelas Chacham Kedas Malasos Bashir Leskiras Dalas and Makarer. So it's a little bit of a funny formulation. It doesn't say Esther Shalom beforehand. He says, if you open up the refrigerator on Shabbos and the light's on, go ask the rabbi. So you should probably do your homework and know what to do before it happens, so you don't have to leave the refrigerator open and go knock on the rabbi's door. So Yishal Shelas Chacham, what's the issue? So he says, I think this is what you're referring to, Micah. He says in the footnote here, Memches, Yesh Lodun. That on the one hand, extinguishing the light, what do you want to do? The refrigerator is open with the light. Do you want to close it now? So extinguishing the light is a melacha shein tzuch l'gufa, which is only derabana. Especially, there's no flame here. So he thinks that's also only kiboy derabana. And if you're going to close it in a kalachiyat fashion, so we're talking about kibbutz derabanan, and we're talking about beofen derabanan. That should be a psikresha betray derabanan, which is mutter. And then he says, even better, why don't you have your neighbor close it for you? Why is that any better? Because he thinks that's like Ara the Chavre that we saw on Kuf Gimel, that for him, it's definitely no yichalei because he couldn't care less. It's not his refrigerator. But better to have, he says, have someone else who isn't even your friend, who has absolutely no interest, couldn't care less what happens with the refrigerator. So he says that should be a psikreshidol ichpaslei like Ara the Chavre. So have someone else do it in a kalachiyat fashion, which is a ofen derabanan on a malacha derabanan in a psikresha de lo ichpasle. He thinks that should be mutter. So he's not saying get a nachri because this is an Eretz Yisrael and it's not like you can knock on your neighbor's door. There may be no nachri anywhere nearby. I don't think he would dispute Ramosha's suggestion to have a nachri do it. But then he says, the chacham echad heirli, and I'm assuming this is what you meant, Micah. The lo chashe psikresha del ichbaslei kevin she'osel l'tovas balam mekarer. No, that's not a psikresha del ichbaslei because l'maisa, if the guy's knocking on your door and asking you to do him a favor to close his refrigerator, even if you never met him before, that's still considered to be nichalei because it's nicha to help your friend. And maybe this isn't a regular trade derabanan. Maybe melacha shein tzuch l'guf is worse. And maybe it's like mechaber b'yadayim.
Yeah, that's the line, I guess. Mechaber b'yadayim.
If you're going to do it, that's what he calls the Rishon Lezion. If you're going to do it intentionally, so, kaven de beofen kavua miskonein nasa kiba aide skiras adelas shilochetzes la kaftora chashmali raksa derechu kiba hanura asher the chashuk kimechabe the adayim. Because what's going to happen? You close the door that thing goes over the light. So that's mechabe adayim, maybe. Ayin shuva zikras Moshe. So He's been citing Ramosha. He doesn't talk about it beyond the Tzion. So what would that mean? I guess if you say that's not considered to be psegresha, then I guess maybe you'd argue even Aliyei Nachri with the Yasser. He doesn't really spell that all out.
Yeah.
I think we generally assume that, like Ramosha, that Ayidei that is called the Psegresha, and Ayidei Nachri would be Mutter.
Okay. And then one other question. This is just general. I was just curious. It seems like a lot of this discussion, we're talking about this in Seder, that like a lot of this discussion is very much like later post-Kim focused, about all different like types of Psegresha. Is this something that's not as discussed in Rishonim? It seems like some of Psegresha is really articulated later. The Nachri is really articulated later.
Well, Psafik Psegresha is a chiddush of the Taz to explain the Torah. Ayidei Nachri, I mean, that's Mavur from Halachas and Shulchan Aruch. That's what the Magen Avraham just points out in Tura Maz. That's
based right, it's on, just they make the Hara explicitly.
Based on Psegresha Ayidei Nachri. But that's, there are plenty of cases of Psegresha in the Gemara and the Rishonim. I think we kind of touched on a number of them.
Mm.
I mean, technology creates new problems and challenges in Shiloh. So a lot of the technology issues are obviously recent, and there are Psegresha applications and many other applications in Shabbos. But the principles of Psegresha are not of recent vintage. Okay. Anything else? Okay, so let's circle back now. We spent a few chaburas on the Psegresha detour, but we got to the Psegresha detour from the Sugya Mesechrei Din Zaisa. And Mesechrei Din Zaisa is the Sugya D'Shmaisa related to Schita B'Begadim. So just to chazer again where we started, there's the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, which is probably the sheet of Rav Rishonim and how we assume Lalacha. But when it comes to begadim, there are two ofanim of schita. There's schita mishum alabein, mishum kibus, and schita mishum mefarik. So in the Rabbeinu Tam formulation, the most classic applications are that if you have water absorbed in a beged, that's typically a schita of malabein if you were to squeeze it out, because you're squeezing it out for the betterment of the beged, as opposed to if there are sharmashkim, you're not squeezing it out for the betterment of the beged. Typically, you're squeezing it out for the mashkim that you wish to use. But even when it comes to water, if you are squeezing out water from a beged to use the water, and it's not holich li'ibud, then that's going to be mishum mefarik as well, not just or not mishum malabi. There's a strong mashmos in the Rush, if not explicit, that schitas beged is an isur deraisa. Even though when we began the schita sugis, it looked like zesim anavim are the only example of schita deraisa. That's in the context of peiros, but there could be other schitas of mefarik that are deraisa as well. So take a look at the Rush in Perek Kaf Beis Simen Dalet. Perek Kaf Beis Simen Dalet, if you have a Gemara. Towards the end of Simen Dalet, so the Rush here is going on the sugya of Kvashim Ushlakos. The Rush writes, V'ha demashma b'ferek mifanin kuf kaf chesam and beiz de'ika chiyav chatas b'schitas shemen mitoch ha-seyar, that there's a melacha d'araisa if you squeeze out oil from hair. So how is that d'araisa? That's not zeisim anavim. Lo dami l'soche pri she'ein dargo liskot ki derech osa pri la'ochlo la'hosim imena mashka. Hilkach ein she mashka la'yosim imena. So when it comes to peiros, the only peiros that are malacha deraisa are zeisim anavim that are omeid l'mashka. But every other pri, if it's omeid primarily l'achila, even if it's sometimes used l'mashka, if you squeeze it, that's not a malacha deraisa. Avamashka nivla bebeged hasochta lahotimimenu chayiv. But if you have liquid that's absorbed in a baguette, and you squeeze out the baguette in order to use to access the liquid, that's a malacha daraisa. So that seems pretty explicit that schitas begadim is potentially a malacha daraisa where you're squeezing out a liquid from a baguette in order to use the liquid, because that is the derech, that is the norm. Okay. That shita for Bein Tam, we'll call it the shita of Rov Rishonim, and what we assume la halacha, that there are two ofanim of shita bebeged, and there is mifarek if you are sochet a beged, which potentially, at least according to the Rosh, could be a malacha daraisa. And the Rambam, you get the impression that there is no such dichotomy. There's no mifarek when it comes to begadim. A number one from Perek Tes Halacha Yud Aleph. Perek Tes Halacha Yud Aleph. Hamachabis begadim arayu told us malabin v'chayev. Vasochid as a beged ad sheyotzi amayim shabu reza machabis v'chayev. Shaschita mitzorchi kibasi, moshal gosa mitzorchi abishol. So here the Rambam's framing schitas begadim solely in the context of kibus, in the context of malabein, and not in the context of mifarik. And then in Parakafes Halacha Tesvav, when it comes to the Rabbanans, Hamechabes Chayim Mishim Malabein, Vasochei Ksos Chayim Mitnei Shehu Mechabes, Lefikach, Asher litkok matlis amoch v'chayotzi behen b'fi ashisha k'day l'sas masheva yavo lidei schita. That's the Gemara on Kuf Mem Aleph, that you're not allowed laduke udra puma shisha. You can't stick in a piece of cloth to plug something up. Why? Because you may come to schita. And again, here, the Rambam Schita is in the context of Mechabes. Hasochik says Chaimishim Menesh Mechabes, and therefore, Asulitko Matlis Amoch Mechayotziben. As opposed to Tosfos, that understands on Kufim Aleph that the concern is that you may come to Schita Mefarik, here in context, the Rambam is only talking about you may come to the Schita of Malabi. So Tosfos seems to be, the Rambam seems to be of the opinion that Schitas begadim is only Mishim Malabi, not Mishim Mefarik, but Rabbeinu Tam, and the way we assume Lalacha, is concerned about Mefarik as well. Okay, so with that introduction or that Chazara, let's turn to the status of baby wipes on Shabbos. So the major concern of Poskim when it comes to baby wipes is one of mefarik, not one of mechabes. If there is liquid that's going to be squeezed out of a baby wipe when you're wiping, so that's not letovas habaguette, you're not squeezing out the baguette, the liquid for the improvement of the wipe, you're doing it because you want the liquid. So like Ramosha, for example, Chelet Beis Siman Ayin talks about squeezing out liquids from paper on Shabbos in the context of malabein, that he's mater mishum malabein, chayle besim and ayin, but the focus of baby wipes is primarily on the mefarik kind of schita. So let's start with the analysis of Rabbi Gelber in the back of the Orach HaShabbos, Simin Zion, a relatively short piece. Parallel to that, we'll also reference an article written by Rabbi Pesach Eliyahu Falk, who just passed away during COVID about a year ago, in the journal Or HaShabbos from Tuf Shin Nun Beis. Now, it looks like the modern baby wipes as we know them were first manufactured in Tuf Shin Nun in 1990. So Rabbi Falk's article was really at the beginning when these things started to be marketed. Rabbi Gelber makes a number of points. His number one, don't tell me that if you are using a baby wipe to wipe a baby or anyone else, that the liquid coming out is considered holech li'ibud. And according to the Bali Tosos, if you have liquid coming out of a bagel that's halachically ibud, it's not mishum mefarik either, because you want the water. That's not called halachically ibud. Halachically ibud is that you're squeezing the misakhrayd in his isa, and the liquid falls on the floor, not into a kli. But here, the reason you're squeezing, if you're squeezing, the reason that you're using it is because you want that liquid to clean the baby. So you can't call that holech li'ibud. Rav Asher and Rav Avadia, independently, aren't so convinced about that, because they have the following raya that maybe you would call that holech li'ibud. Rav Asher is Chuvas Minchas Asher Chelik Aleph Simen Yudalid. Rav Avadia and the Chazon Avadia Perek Volume Dalid. So they point to a Gemara. They point to a Gemara on Daf Nun Amid Beis. The Gemara on Daf Nun Amid Beis has the following Shaila. It's about 12 lines down. Bomi Nami Rav Sheshes. Mahu liftsoa zesim bishabbos. Are you allowed to crush olives on Shabbos? Rashi says, alasela lemasek miri ruso. So you're puncturing the zesim to sweeten the bitterness. And Tosas argues, Tosas di Ramasko Ma'aliv Tsoa says, Mefarish Ri, Mahu liftsoa lachuf panav yad viraglav. No, you're squeezing the olives to rub them on your extremities. Kiyahu del el, the derech mezesim lahavir ulalabin. So you're squeezing it on your body in order to clean your body. Meras l'chi b'chol mi'itiru, and you're allowed to do this during the week. Kasavra Misham Hefsid Ochlin. So Kasavra, the reason that when we say B'chi B'chol Mi'itiru, it means that's Hefsid Ochlin if you're going to squeeze it and not eat it. So the Gemara says, Leim Aflik D'Shmuel, Dar Shmuel, also other than Kol Sarach L'Pach, you are allowed to use food for other purposes. Fine. So within that Shaila of the Gemara, the Ritva has the following comment. Ritva daf nun on the days. The Ritva says the following. He quotes Rashi. He quotes Tosfos. He says the way he quotes the Ri in Tosfos is Lefikach Pirish Ri Lipsoa Zesim Lacha Bampanaviyad of Kamar Umishum Ashara Seyar Aval Mishum Schita Leka. But there's no problem with Schita. Kevan She'eno Tsarach Lemeyan, because you don't need the liquid. V'holech Li'ibud. And it's going Li'ibud. It's Hefsed Ochlin because it's going to be destroyed. It's Halach Li'ibud. So what does that mean? That it's Halach Li'ibud. You're wiping it on your skin. You're wiping it on Panu Yad Raglav. Hello, what? It sounds like, say, Rav Asher and Lahad Mechaim Lechaim Rav Avadia. Sounds like if you're squeezing it on your body and then it's going to fall down and you're not going to use it long term, that's called holich libut. So maybe they say the same thing by baby wipes. You're not interested in preserving the liquid. You're wiping it on the body, and then whatever moisture there is going to fall off. It's not going to be preserved. So maybe that's considered holech li'ibah. Okay. Point number two. So question one, is this considered holech li'ibah? Point number two, the Rabbi Gelber quotes the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Ayin Ches Amud Aleph. Gemara says, the Erev Yom HaKippurim, Nevi'im lo mitpachas, v'sharas abimayim. So you can bring a cloth in Erev Yom Kippur, you could soak it in water, the osa osa kenin kelim neguvim, ulamachar mavira al gabi enof. So you can take a cloth, soak it in water on Erev Yom Kippur, and then the next day, put it on your eyes. What's the mitzias here? What are we talking about? It says Rashi. Ayin chesem and alet diber maskel mitpachas. Mivila mitpachas and mekanech bayadav. So you bring this cloth, you wet it, and you rub your hands with it on Erev Yom Kippur. Ulamachar poshtam avir leinav. Then the next day, on Yom Kippur proper, you can take it and rub it on your eyes. Vihi locha ksas mikinua chaydayim d'esmol. And it's still a little bit moist from yesterday's rubbing. So you wet it on Erev Yom Kippur, you used it on Erev Yom Kippur, and then come Yom Kippur morning, it's still a little bit moist, and you can use it to wipe your eyes. The Ramah quotes this halacha as follows, Tafresh Yud Gimel Se'if Zayin, Tafresh Yud Gimel Se'if Zayin. The Ramah writes, "Aser lishros mapa mibod yom v'lasosa kamin kelim neguvim ulitzainim babi yom kippur." So you're not allowed to soak a cloth on Erev Yom Kippur and make it like a wiped kli to cool off of it on Yom Kippur. The chashin and shamalo tingov yafa. Maybe you won't wipe it off properly. The avalide schita. And you may come to Schita. Says in Mishabrua Sivkatan Kafe, Aval Mutter Lekaneach Yadav Viraglav Erev Yom Kippur B'mapa. However, you are allowed to wipe your hands Erev Yom Kippur with a cloth. Ulamachar Mavira Al Einav, and then wipe it on your hands on Yom Kippur, on your eyes Yom Kippur morning. The Adayin Lachot Sas Mikinuach Yadayin De Esmo. We're still a little bit moist from yesterday. De bazeh lo chayshinan l'schita. So says the Orach HaShabbos and Rabbi Falk, I think similarly, but maybe you'll say that just as in this Erev Yom Kippur case, you're allowed to have something that's moistened Erev Yom Kippur, and then we're still a little bit lach, put it over your eyes on Shabbos, isn't that on Yom Kippur? Isn't that the same as a baby wipe where there's some moisture and you're rubbing it on Shabbos? It says Rabbi Gelber, it's not the same. On the Erev Yom Kippur case and the Yom Kippur case, we're talking about where the moisture left is minimal and your purpose is not to extract the water, as opposed to with the baby wipe, where that's the very reason you have the baby wipe is to extract the water. So that's a nadoma to the case of Yom Kippur. And he says, don't tell me that it's a darvish and a miskavein. It's very much miskavein. That's the whole point. You want the water to come out of the baby wipe in order to wipe the baby. And Rabbi Falk says, we're talking about a chashash malacha d'oraisa. Even though ein disha ela begidule karka, and water isn't gidule karka, so how can we be talking about a malacha d'oraisa? So he points out, the igle tal, O Zion, Sivkat and Gimel and Dalet. O Zion, Sivkat and Gimel and Dalet. If Leital proves that when we talk about Gedulei Karka, Gedulei Karka is determined based on the receptacle and not on the product. Meaning, if we're looking at a baby wipe, we're looking at the wipe and not the water to determine what's considered Gedulei Karka. Not that which is extracted from the kli, but the kli itself. So that's the points that are being in time and say for Yasha Simon Reish Pei Gimel that Rabbeinu Tam demonstrates Ein Schita B'Seyar. What does that mean, Ein Schita B'Seyar? That if you squeeze out oil from hair, that's not a Malacha D'Oraisa. Why? Because even the oil is Gedulei Karka, but the hair is not Gedulei Karka. So Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumra, he says, at least according to Bein Atam, we follow the source of the liquid being extracted and not the liquid itself. So even if water is Eidem Akabal Tumah, if the wipe is made from, even though the water is not Gedulei Karka, if the wipe is made from material that's Gedulei Karka, if it's made from some wood derivative or paper made from a wood derivative, that could be Mekabel Tuma. So according to madehow.com, the common materials used in baby wipes are fibers like cotton and rayon. Which is referred to as a non-woven fabric. So at least part of that is non-synthetic. It says, especially if the whole purpose is l'schita, it's l'schita kai, that could potentially be a malacha d'oraisa. And he says, so how do you know that schita is going on? He says, see what happens when you squeeze a baby wipe. So did anyone get the memo and bring a baby wipe with them? Okay, so I have here, it's been a few years since our youngest has been out of diapers, but we borrowed something from a neighbor earlier. So this is a Costco brand baby wipe, which may be of inferior quality to Pampers. So Rabbi Falk says, if you take a baby wipe and you fold it repeatedly, and then you squeeze it, you get half a cup or half a teaspoon of liquid. I think this one may, either this is a very inferior quality or it's too dried out. When we had kids in diapers, I generally found that the Costco brand was of inferior quality. We didn't get it. So he says experiments indicate that if you squeeze a better baby wipe, you will get a not insignificant amount of accumulation of water. He says it's a schita kai, it's mechavein. The whole purpose is to get out the water. So that potentially should be a malacha d'oraisa.
Can Rebbe explain again? How did he explain the Gemara in Yuma that says why in Shabbos, why on Yom Kippur is it mutter? Because what's the reason for that?
There's There's no real moisture that's being squeezed out. There's some residual liquid. As the case was, as Rashi explains, where you had it on Erev Yom Kippur, or it in the formulation of the Ramah, you wet it on Erev Yom Kippur, you already used it to squeeze. There's a little bit of residual moisture that's left on Yom Kippur, but that's minimal residual moisture that's not going to result in any schita. And even if it does result in any schita, that's not your kavanah.
And why are you putting it on your face?
You're putting it on your face to rub something on your face, but not for the water. Water would be...
Isn't the whole reason that you use something that had water to get the water on your face? Otherwise, you would just use a regular towel.
So to get the water on your face in and of itself would be problematic on Yom Kippur. It's just, it's something less than water, or there's some residual moisture, but it's not really water. It's a step down. That's what it sounds like. So I'm fine either continuing for another 10 minutes to wrap this up or wait until next time. Do you have a preference one way or another?
I'm okay continuing.
Should we continue?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay, no pressure, fine. So those are the Machmira. Shmira Shabbos writes, in the new edition, this did not appear in the second edition, but it appeared in volume 3 and then was incorporated into the new edition. Shmir Shabbos writes, Perek Yudalid Sif Lamed Zayin, Perek Yudalid Sif Lamed Zayin, that there are grounds to be makel to wipe a baby with baby wipes. He distinguishes between if it's made out of paper, made out of cloth, which Rav Asher writes in his Jew is not sure why that distinction should be true, as long as you don't squeeze it biadayim, and as long as you don't use too much pressure. What's that based on? So he quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman in footnote Tzadi Tess, that if you're not going to squeeze it hard, then nothing is going to come out of the inside. You're not going to be extracting any liquid from the fabric. And that's analogous to the Mageves on Yom Kippur, where you're not really extracting anything. Even if some liquid comes out, that's not considered a psik resha. And he quotes from Shlomo Zalman as an open question, would you consider this holich le'ibud, even if you were to squeeze it out, if it goes onto the baby and then you don't care about it anymore, he leaves that as an open question. Is that holeich li'ibud? He's mitzayin the tshuva v'tzi pesach frank, har tzvi chelik aleph simen kuf tzadi, har tzvi chelik aleph simen kuf tzadi. Not about baby wipes, but whether you can wipe with a moist piece of paper on Shabbos. So he poses the same question to Rav Pesach Frank. Is that considered to be holeich le'ibud if the water is helpful because it's cleaning you a little bit, but then you're not really using it afterwards? Is that holeich le'ibud? This tshuva is written to Reb Yud Mem Chalap. I don't know if that's Rabbi Chalap's grandfather, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, or Rabbi Chalap's father, Rabbi Tzvi Michal, but they're the same initials because the tshuva is undated. But the Shuva of Pesach Frank is written to Echarlap. And then he says, even if we'll determine that this is really Shchita, it's not an Isser Min HaTorah, because the water isn't naturally absorbed. It's like Kvashim Ushlokos, because the water doesn't naturally come from the paper. So that goes to the same question as whether you would consider this holech li'ibud. Rav Asher thinks in Chelek Aleph Simen Yudalid that there's no schita here at all. He says, if you squeeze the baby wipe, or if you just use it gently, there's no difference in the volume of water that comes out. And he thinks that the water that's coming out is water that's not embedded in the cloth, but on top of the cloth. And you're not squeezing anything out when you use a baby wipe. So that's already a machlokas manufacturers that the Rabbi Ribia talks about in his book, Volume 2, Lamatas Malachos. This was published in 1999, 6th edition, 2001. So Rabbi Ribia writes on page 353. He says, certain poskim are quoted to have permitted the use of pre-wetted wipes on Shabbos and Yontiv because most of the moisture is not absorbed within the fibers, but is merely settled upon the surface of the cloth. A close examination of a pre-wetted wipe held horizontally at eye level does reveal many small droplets of moisture settled all along the surface of the thin material. This would seem to support the contention that most of the fluid is in fact on top of the surface and that very little is actually absorbed inside the cloth. However, in various interviews with representatives of major U.S. manufacturers of pre-wetted cloths, this author received conflicting reports on the nature of materials used in the wipes. The response received from one producer indicated that the material is designed to trap most of the moisture only on the surface of the material, so as to allow the moisture to become easily transferred to the skin with minimal pressure. This information corroborates the contention of the lenient view. However, in another series of interviews with the major manufacturer, it was stated that the materials used for the pre-wetted wipes are comprised of a homogeneous blend of natural and synthetic fibers that absorb liquids. They explained that there is a wicking effect by which the cloth material naturally draws liquids, and that the cloths are in fact highly absorbent. They rejected the contention that the liquid is merely settled upon the surface of the cloth and not absorbed within the fibers. As to the appearance of small droplets of moisture settled all along the surface of the material, it was claimed that this is not the norm and could mean that the product was defective. Or maybe they used Costco wipes. Based on an interview with Ms. Pippett in conjunction with the technicians at Procter & Gamble, April 18, 1997. This information indicates that at least in the case of some brands, the pre-wetted wipes are logically the same as any other wet cloth, which may not be squeezed. And that website that I just referenced before, not explicit, but madehow.com, you got the impression, like the Procter & Gamble Shita, that it is heavily absorbed in the liquid, which would be more of a problem. So Rav Asher argues that, no, it's really on the surface. And even if Rabbi Falk is right, that if you squeeze it hard, the water's going to come out, but that's not your intention, and that's not the normal use, and you don't need that much liquid. And that much is going to be a davar shein miskaven. And he says, don't bother me with the science, that scientifically you're definitely going to be squeezing out liquid from that's embedded in the cloth, because we don't define things based on science. Davar shein miskaven is defined based on perception, not based on science. After all, if everything is based on science, then if you're goer kisei mita v'safsal, what's the heter dor shein miskaven? You can determine based on science, based on all the variables in front of you, is a chair going to make a hole? Is a chair not going to make a hole? So science clearly is not necessary or relevant in defining Darvishenu Miskaven. Darvishenu Miskaven is based on your perception. The same thing here. If you use a baby wipe to wipe and it doesn't look like water is coming out, then that's not considered skita. But Rabbi Willig didn't think that was correct in Mitzias. Meaning if you're using a baby wipe and you're wiping yourself, so there's water coming out and you want the water, so that and he assumes the evidence seems to be that there's water that is embedded in the cloth that's coming out, and you want more water. If you didn't want more water, you're going to be using a baby wipe. Rav Osner has a couple of tshuvas. Chelechas Simon and Tess, Shevet Levi Chelechas Simon and Tess. So Rav Osner says that if you use it in such a way that you're not going to apply extreme pressure, you're not going to come to Schita, Efshar Lahakel. But then he says, since it's hard to know where to draw the line, what's considered pressure, what's not pressure, and this is a Masur Lehamonim Lenashim, then you should be machmir until we have more clarity on the Metzias and the Metzias changes. Rabbi Gelber, the Aruch HaShabbos, takes credit for this Chazara of Rav Osner. He says that he went to speak to Rav Osner, he convinced Rav Osner that in practice he should be machmir, and Chelek Yud, Simen Nun Ches as well, Shevet Levi Chelek Yud, Simen Nun Ches. Rav Osher says he liked Rav Osner's original opinion. He didn't think he should have been closer. And that's Rav Avadya's psak as well, that if you don't squeeze it too hard, if you don't apply too much pressure, then it should be mutter. So what you have is a machlokas min akatsa l'akatsa among contemporary postgame, whether we're talking about a potential malacha d'oraisa or are we talking about a heter gamur. And you have to figure out, the Metzias, are there differences between different types of wipes? And if anyone wants to do any further research and figure out what's embedded and what's on the surface, if that makes a difference, then please let me know what you find out. Okay, so Mirtz Hashem, next time we will talk about milking of animals and humans. And that will probably be our last shiur on Dash/Mefarik. I think the next shiur is going to be Monday and not Sunday. Are we anticipating most people will be in person on Monday?
I'm not going to be.
Okay. Yes, you're still out on Monday also?
Out until a week from Friday.
A week from Friday, wow.
I'm also like, it depends. I always have rebel class at 5. So.
But Ezra, you're around the Monday? And Elon, you're end? Okay. Fine. So I guess I'll let you know the time. But Mike, you're around the beginning of Seder.
Yeah, I can do till the beginning.
Okay, fine. So I'll let you know the time. Everyone should stay safe and healthy, and I will be neither send out new marmakamos on milk.
Rabbi, milk. I had a question.
Yeah. Sure.
When you compared it to dragging the chair, it doesn't really seem to be the best comparison, because unless you go in and take all the measurements and have like a robot drag a chair, you know the exact patch of dirt it's going to be dragged on, you're not going to be able to tell, and that would obviously be completely absurd. But here, we've gone and researched the science.
Right. I definitely hear that. I think Rav Asher is using that as kind of an extreme to highlight a point, but that's kind of a lishitaso in many areas of halacha. I like to say that Rav Asher is lishitaso in milk in terms of the permissibility of drinking commercially processed milk and mamzerus, And Rosh Eftis Lishitas in the other direction, whether if there's a clash between halachic principles and scientific reality.
That's not science. That's statistics.
Some of it is statistics. Some of it is science. On the Mamzer's front, it's science. But I'm saying
about the milk. I don't know about that.
Right. Okay. But it's there's a certain pattern of Lishitas in terms of view of the world. But I accept your point, Yossi, about the specifics of Garamita Kisavisafsal.
But the much better argument seems you should use is you can't physically see it. So why are you looking a certain amount with your eye? You can't see it. So Lacha shouldn't apply to it. Why don't we say that?
So that's part of what Rav Asher is saying, is that if you don't perceive it as being squeezed out, then that shouldn't concern us. Correct. You could say that without the analogy to Garamita Kisavisafsal. Okay, very good. Hatzlacha.
Thank you.